I'm Spencer Davis with your 1010 XL and 92.5 FM Hekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update, brought to you by Osteen Volkswagen. Jaguars' third preseason game tomorrow night in Detroit. You'll hear it right here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM at 7:30. Pregame coverage starting at 4:30. Gus Bradley yesterday talking about that D-line, what the rotation will look like for the game.
Big thing for us is to get them, you know, playing, and then also our rotations. You know, let's work on that, like Cinteric and Ziggy, and getting those guys involved, Brancher and Clem. You know, just working that rotation so they get a feel for how a game is going to go.
A few other NFL notes. Cleveland Browns coach Mike Pettine says it will not be a two-quarterback system in Detroit. Said this is Brian's job. I never think of it as he's on a leash or we want a guy to be a game manager. We want him to be confident and to go out and play. The Pittsburgh Steelers could have a problem at the running back position. Yesterday, Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount pulled over and admitted to having marijuana in their possession, so legal trouble could be facing the two in the backfield for the Steelers. Good news, though, out of Buffalo, Jim Kelly's doctor, Peter Constantino, says as far as cancer is concerned, the treatments so far have completely eliminated Mr. Kelly's pain and his level of function has essentially returned to normal. Further, on physical examination, there is no evidence of the cancer. Jaguars Today with Mike Dempsey coming up next.
Jaguars Today is next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now Richardson goes in motion to the right side. Back to throw. Green under a bit of heat. Turns to Bray. Lost the ball. It's on the ground, and he covers it up back at the 24-yard line. Marcus Stroud got his second sack of the game, forcing the fumble. There's the Jacksonville 36-yard line. Hutchinson, head bobbing and weaving as he calls out the signals. Drops to throw, trying to set up the screen. It's going to be pressured. It's sacked all the way back to the 44. Guess who? Big John Henderson.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Welcome in, Jaguars Today. MD Fat Tony here with you on a travel Thursday. We're kicking them out of the stadium, Tony, as far as that goes, and we're sending them on their way to Detroit. They're clearing out, and they're going to leave us behind. And that's just fine with us because we got the head coach who's going to join us before he hops on that plane
Headed
from O-Town today.
It's pretty incredible. That dude, man, he just walks in a room. It completely changes the atmosphere in that room. We were kind of – it was a little bit of a slow morning for us, I think. We got about 8 million things going on because of everything that has been going on here in the last 45 minutes or so. But, yeah, it was fun to sit down and talk to coaches as they get ready to go to Detroit and – have the real dress rehearsal for them week three of the preseason.
As close as you're going to get to it, you know, that's what it is. And you'll hear Gus's thoughts on a lot of that, some of the position battles that are ongoing right now. Of course, the center position, the auto linebacker position, the quarterback position as well. I don't think a battle at the moment in the mind of the head coach, but certainly in the minds of the fans. That's a battle that will play out over the course of the season as to when the third overall pick finally gets some regular season action that matters. So we'll let you hear that conversation coming up in about an hour and a half. That's with Gus Bradley. John Osier is going to stop by. He'll be here in about 10 minutes as well. He's getting ready to hop on the plane for the Motor City as well. Tony, today's Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight focuses in on road trips. I've never been to Detroit. Actually, I was. I drove through Detroit. We took a wrong turn one summer. Heather and I drove up to Flint, Michigan, where a buddy of mine from college lived with his, he was one of 21 brothers and sisters. That's some serious family right there. And we took a wrong turn leaving Flint and went right through downtown Detroit on our way home. It was not the preferred travel route, but we made it nonetheless. And I think the Jags will make it. What do they have? A Rihanna and an Eminem concert?
They're playing together across the street.
At the same time of the game.
At the same time as the game.
So don't expect the capacity crowd to be
probably
in attendance
not.
To watch preseason
probably
football.
Probably not.
Despite the fact that it'll be the preseason debut for Megatron. Calvin Johnson will be on display. A number of other Jags, such as Cecil Short's going to be out there for the first time, Dakota Watson, and several guys that just kind of working their way back to full strength as we've still got a few weeks to go. You start thinking about Austin Pastor's time frame, and you hear the 4-week time frame. You think about it. basically a week's almost gone by, right? So if you think of it that way, because you tend to think preseason game three, preseason game four, regular season games one and two. Well, if a week goes by, then you play the game. Then another week goes by and you play the second game. Then another week goes by and you play the first game. Then another week goes by, maybe you're back for that
sure.
second game of the season. That's probably the optimistic viewpoint, but I don't.
Yeah, and they said 4 weeks before they'll reevaluate
right.
where Pastor is.
Right,
so,
and, but
we'll
I mean,
see.
You reevaluate, and there's a possibility that hopefully Cam Bradfield will hold up well in his stead, and the Jags can get off to a good start this year. But the Tom Bush Family Dealership Fan Feedback Spotlight, as I was alluding to, they are taking that road trip to Detroit. I've never been to Detroit. I've been to a number of NFL locales. We want today your story. If you're tweeting in 140 characters or less, whatever you can get in there, already got some very creative ones in that span of time. What's your favorite Jaguar road trip that you've ever taken to a road game? And, you know, give us the story of why that was your favorite, whether it was the venue, whether it was the outcome, the significance of the game, whatever the case may be. Share your thoughts with us. If you want to get in today, 641-1010 is the way to do it. We'll get some of John Osier's final thoughts before he hops on the team plane, along with, of course, the 1010XL broadcast crew, Frank Frangie, Rick Ballew, Jeff Logman, Tony Baselli. We'll all be on there. You hear those guys on the game broadcast coming up on Friday night right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. In fact, tonight, got the Gus Bradley Show with Gus and Jeff Logman. That's ready to roll at 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock. J.P. Shatterick will be joined by Tony and Jeff from the Motor City. I was listening to, I think it was Ryan Robinson, who is a media relations guy. We say his name a lot. I don't know if the typical person out there knows who he is as much as we do in the media, but Ryan's a familiar figure to everybody in the Jacksonville media, and he was talking with Joe Fortunato about the time of the plane trip, and Joe said he thought it would be quicker to get to Detroit, and they said, well, what was it to Chicago, like 2 hours and 5 minutes? And I'm thinking, travel the way they do it, it's not the way I do it, because I'd be... First of all, I'd have that hour stop over in Atlanta,
sure.
and then I'd have that hour stop over somewhere else, and then I'd finally land like 6 hours after my initial departure.
No, they're just flying wherever they want to fly.
That's how they roll with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, Tony, look, the division of labor has been spelled out now by Gus Bradley in terms of the quarterback position. Quarter and a half for Chad Henne. First quarter and a half, roughly thereabouts. Now, again, you have a quality quarter. Like they did in the second preseason game, you're going to get plenty of reps, and you're going to get maybe more reps than you expected to get. You wonder, though, Detroit has the ball first. Jags have a three-and-out series. I mean, you could have a couple of quick possessions and a quarter and a half could be gone like that. Wonder if that changes at all on the fly, because in the end, you still need to get Chad Henne ready. That's one thing we'll talk about with Gus Bradley, balancing getting this guy ready to start the season, having the offense in as much sync as possible, because, you know, by now, if you don't know who's going to be the opening day starter, you haven't been paying attention, and also having that plan to bring along the number three overall pick in the draft and having him ready at some point, whether that's this season, next season. Most people think it'll be at some point this season, but how do you balance those things?
Sure, and that's the difference between, you know, a guy like Gus Bradley and myself, because I wouldn't be all that worried about how much playing time Chad Henne got in the game, because I'm really anxious to see what it looks like Blake Bortles playing with the ones. And the more time I could get evaluating Blake Bortles with the ones, the more I would want to take advantage of that, especially with how good Chad looked last week. We know what Chad Henne is, and we've seen good Henne and bad Henne to this point in the preseason. You hope that there's some kind of rhythm developing on offense. He's getting Cecil Shorts back probably for the first couple series of this game, at least tomorrow night in Detroit. Me, I wouldn't be so worried about it, but that's not the plan for the Jags. I think there is the idea of they want to see something productive from that offense with Chad Henne on the field, and then it's probably time to go to Blake
Bortles. Yeah, and I understand your sentiment, and I think it's a sentiment shared by a lot of people. You say, we know what Chad Henne is. Can a guy not have the best season of his career?
No,
can he not? I mean, because he's had a good offseason. I think it's clear to see. You and I are out at the vast majority of practices. We haven't been at every single practice, but the vast majority of them that are open to the media, one or both of us have been in attendance, and he's played pretty well consistently throughout. Now, he has his moments where he's not perfect, certainly out there, but another year in a Jed Fish system, some more weapons around him in Toby Gerhart And Gus, again, stressing today about how much they really want to establish the running game with this football team this year. And these, you know, rookie wide receivers, you get a healthy Cecil Shorts, you get a healthy Mercedes Lewis. Who knows? Maybe we'll see. You know, maybe the ceiling is capped, but maybe we haven't seen quite the ceiling yet out of Chad Hanley. That's got to be the hope, right, going into it if you're the coaching staff. Because if you feel like all you're ever going to get is what you've seen in the past, up, down, up, down, up, down, I think they wouldn't be quite as eager as they have been to really thrust him into this role as fully as they have.
Well, that is how I feel about Chad Henne. I'm not saying that that's how the team feels about Chad. I think they do feel exactly what you're talking about, that this can be the best season of his career, that they're going to get more consistency than they've seen from Chad Henne to this point in his time in Jacksonville. I think that they believe that is the kind of thing they can get from Chad Henne. I don't personally buy it, which is why I would want to see as much of Blake Bortles playing with those guys as I possibly could tomorrow night to get a real evaluation, or at least as close to a real evaluation as I could, of what it may look like if we have to go to him at some point early in the season. And can we be comfortable with putting him on the field with these guys? And keep in mind, look, he's gotten something like 20 reps with the ones in practice this week. So when he goes on the field tomorrow night with those guys, with Mercedes Lewis, Cecil will probably be out of the game by that point, but with Mercedes and Marquise and those types of guys, it'll be the first time they've been on the field playing with him in a competitive situation. And how comfortable are they with what Blake Bortles wants to do compared to what they're very comfortable with Chad? You have to see if they're comfortable with Blake as well.
My guess would be they're going to be very comfortable.
Mine too.
Because everything that you hear from all the veterans is that the way he carries himself off, he's not lost. The moment isn't too big for him. He's very calm. He has that demeanor about him. And look, he's delivering good footballs right now, particularly when the lights are the brightest. So if you want to get in again, talk about preseason game number 3 coming up, you're certainly welcome to do that at 641-1010. Tony, I start heavy-duty draft binge in fantasy football. I'm guessing if everything works out, we'll probably end up doing a couple of listener leagues here on 1010XL. You and myself and Josh Carney, Lauren Brooks will get involved if she so chooses, if we can pull her away from valuable helmets and heels preparation time to join us for one of our drafts. But I'm thinking, for me, 7 drafts in the next 14 days is, I think, what I'm going to have.
Really?
Yeah. I got one tonight. I've got one Sunday. I've got one Monday. I've got one Tuesday. I've got one the following Friday. And I'm guessing if we're going to do a couple of listener leagues, we're going to shoot to do them probably like Tuesday, Wednesday of the week leading right up to kickoff that Thursday night of the NFL season. I don't know what else I'm going to have time to do them. So I'm adding 7. I don't know where my total is right now, it's probably going to be maybe sniffing 20 when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I got 3 this weekend. That'll take me up to 9.
By the way, we put it in the can yesterday, the Your Jacks Fantasy Football Draft Special. First one. We'll do another one, shorter version, next week. It'll air this Saturday at 6 o'clock on CW17. Josh Carney and I, wait till you see the new set that we have. We heard the open today, Marcus Trout and John Henderson. Big John's Crumpy's Wings and Things, the title sponsor of the show. So we appreciate those guys hopping on board. And we've got the Web.com Fantasy Forecast coming up this afternoon as well from 2 to 3 o'clock. So certainly avail yourself of that by tweeting us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Fantasy Forecast. That's Fantasy, the number 4, CAST, and of course at 1010XL Lauren as well. We got Johnny O going to join us in studio coming up in a few minutes. We'll get the ideas and thoughts of the senior writer from Jaguars.com on what the Jags need to accomplish here in week 3 of the preseason. Take your calls, your tweets, post on the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Jaguars today. Again, question of the day or spotlight of the day. Share your story of your favorite Jaguar road trip, favorite road game you ever attended, and tell us what made that one the special one. Maybe it was the only one you've ever attended. Maybe it was a playoff game. Whatever the case may be, share your thoughts. And the boys from Dandy are bringing us lunch.
Sweet.
How about that? Have you seen Bolt City Batman's tweeting out pictures?
Yep.
I see ham, turkey, roast beef, lettuce, pickles, bread, cheese. I don't know what else is in there. I don't know if there really needs to be anything else in there, but I'm already hungry, and I'm looking forward to that. That's coming up today as well. Spinner Howland's going to stop by. Jacksonville Axemen, championship game, U.S. Rugby League title, undefeated season on the line this Saturday at Hodges Stadium. In fact, right now, we'll give you a pair of tickets if you're the third caller at 641-1010. If you want to go see the Axemen play this Saturday, Tony, Rampage Fest, Bloodbath, what are they calling it versus New
Barbarians
Zealand?
Match.
Barbarians match. One, by Saturday, I'll have that nailed down. It's the same premise. The Barbarians match, New Zealand bringing a team to take on the USA, and then that's the prelim. The Barbarians match is the prelim, for goodness sakes, to the Jacksonville Axemen and the Philadelphia Fight squaring off at Hodges Stadium. Third caller at 641-1010. Give your name to Lauren Brooks. She'll put you on the will call guest list, and your tickets will be waiting for you, a pair of them, to go see the Axemen in action this Saturday. So watch the Jags. Listen to them on 1010XL, 92.5 FM on Friday night. Taking the Axemen on Saturday. I'm Mike Dempsey with Fat Tony. We're here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars Today. Let's welcome in the senior writer, Johnny O. My three favorite letters, John, J-E-O, John E-O.
Oh, Temptations going in the background for you.
Motown.
That's right.
It's got to be that simple. Today.
It's ironic.
Is it that simple, Lauren?
The Temptations reference in the Ozone Mailbag.
See, this was the theme yesterday, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, Detroit was the theme yesterday.
So
today's after so much complaining about not getting Motown yesterday, today is Motown.
Oh, that's fine by me.
All right, the theme today is Motown.
I woke up, I turned on a Motown playlist
yesterday and didn't go Motown?
Correct.
Because
she said the.
Wait, is she 12 years old?
We got
the
Smokey.
Consultants.
We got Smokey in the last.
Yeah.
Yeah, last a little bit. One. The consultants say we're skewing too old when we play the Motown.
Right.
Something like that.
Let me tell you something about
some
consultants,
radio stuff.
Mike.
Tell me something, please, about the consultants, Johnny O. Tell us what's up with the how important is this game? I mean, people like to put a lot of importance on the third preseason game. Do we overemphasize it or do we underemphasize it?
Well, I think you want to look in the third preseason game. You want to look like you can compete with decent teams at the bare minimum. You don't want to come out and absolutely be a train wreck in the first half. You don't want to look overmatched. There are some people who get real worked up about the score between the ones and whatnot. I don't think Gus worries that much about that because they're going to be doing a lot of – they want to get guys in different situations. They want to use the first three quarters to get guys in different combinations. So they're not overly concerned about the score, but they want to come out of this game feeling like they weren't overmatched.
You went toe-to-toe.
Right. And there are some teams that get very worked. We want to win the ones in the third preseason game because we'll feel good about themselves. I don't think the Jaguars are that tight.
But I can understand that approach, too.
Sure.
I mean, if you're not, if you're saying, hey, let's go out there and treat this like this was a real half of football because it's the closest we're going to get.
Well, when I was with the Colts and they had their offense going at a high level with Peyton Manning, they wanted to score a couple of touchdowns in the third preseason game and get out. That was their – if they did that, they felt like they were ready. They didn't actually say that, but that was the feeling you got. Once they got a couple of touchdowns with those ones, like, okay, we're ready to go. You never saw them play the ones in the fourth quarter. That was sort of their MO. Again, I don't think Gus and this team have that sort of a mindset going in, but they want to use this game to see the center. They want to use this game to see Henny and Bortles against ones. There's so many young guys in new situations here that you want to take advantage of this to see them in something at least close to a regular season game situation.
So in that case, like let's say Peyton Manning had come out and they led a couple of scoring drives in the middle of the second quarter, would they shut down a lot of those guys or would they still play into the third quarter? And how important is that, that cool down period, you come out, you make those halftime adjustments, because a lot of people talk about that. Chad Henne will not be in that circumstance on Friday.
They liked to do it. You get the feeling sometimes it's almost more superstition than anything else. Did Peyton really need to go in at halftime and come back out to be ready for the regular season opener? Probably not.
It's almost like coaches do certain things so they won't be criticized because it's the way it's done.
It's such a routine-oriented league.
Right.
Gus talked this week about the idea of taking Allen Robinson, the rookie, up to this game, even though he's not going to play, because they like these guys to go on a regular season-type road trip to get the whole experience so that there's not an element of at some point during the first road trip of the guy going, oh, wow, look at that,
Right.
Oh, what's going on? Is it that big of a deal? Maybe not, but they're so detail-oriented, so paranoid about the little things that, it's professional football, so they take things very seriously and a little,
Let's talk about
detail-oriented.
They are. Well, and that's how they are. I mean, I think Gus has a good attitude towards it. At some point, Gus will probably make some really big bozo mistake. You know what I mean? But right now, I mean, I kind of like the approach of don't sweat the small stuff. I mean, is it really all that critical if a guy doesn't play into the third quarter? You know, is it really all that critical if I say something in a press conference that other people treat as a state secret? Or what is it going to hurt to tell you how many reps a certain guy got or
right.
whatever?
Well, and again, since they got here, Dave and Gus have been all about transparency and haven't really sweated the small stuff. So I agree with you. Getting back to the point of the third preseason game, again, with Gus, you get the idea, and he said it, I think it was yesterday, there are 53 new guys on this roster who have never been through this situation before with
them. This organization.
So there is an element of, yeah, on a road trip, you want these guys to know what time the bus leaves from the stadium. You want that to be a routine, that breakfast is going to be this time and this time. It's not a big deal, but when you have this many people involved with the situation, you want to make sure everybody's at least comfortable and has been through it before. I think that's what he's looking for.
There's a lot of logistics involved, and I mean, that's just kind of the stuff. And then you do it, and it's kind of the stuff you don't have to worry about because you've been through it, and you don't want it to be.
There's always a comfort level the second time.
Right.
First time I was on the radio with you, boy, I was nervous.
I was terrified myself because I was in the presence of a senior writer.
But now I show up 10 minutes late, no big deal.
He just rolls in. He's like, whatever, man. I don't care. This is Osher time. Okay. Let's talk position battles right now. Obviously, center is one where, you know, reading the tea leaves, talking with Jeff Lagerman, I think he feels strongly that Luke Belanco gets back to health, he may be the guy, you know, at least in his mind,
yeah.
Just watching what he's seen on tape and watching these guys play. Where do you think that whole position stands right now?
Well, you certainly get the idea that Belanco is the wild card or the guy that, you know, they drafted in the sixth round. He's a young guy. They got him looks with Linder in both situations, one at right guard, one at center, the other at center, the other right guard. So they're clearly looking at that. And if Brewster or McClendon were guys that they were absolutely head over heels with at that position, then one of them probably would have already sort of solidified the job. So I think they're still hoping that McClendon plays well this week, and short of that, hoping that Belanco, their draft pick, the guy that can develop with Linder, that would be a great situation for him if Belanco worked out. He hasn't really been on the field enough to show that yet, but there certainly is a feeling that he might be the guy to package there, center with Linder at right guard.
And not to, you know, give away the farm.
I agree with Jeff, by the way. I think that's the way it will end up. Maybe not the regular season opener.
Right.
But when he gets back, when he gets up to speed, I'd be surprised if that's not the scenario.
When he gets healthy and comfortable. And the way Gus put it, and you'll hear the full conversation coming up at about 11:35, he said, you know, the perception is, we got three guys in there. Nobody's playing really well. And look, Gus accentuates the positives.
Sure.
And what he said was, we got three guys with different strengths. What you don't have right now at this moment, maybe Belanco grows in that, you don't have one guy that has all the strengths that you're looking for, it appears.
No, absolutely not. I mean, if you did, I think they would have been identified earlier. And, you know, realistically, if they had a guy that they believed was a frontline starting center and were absolutely sure of it, we wouldn't be talking about this. So they would have had Mike Brewster in, they have McClendon. I mean, it's been you've got three games with two guys starting so far, and we're also talking about a third guy now. So clearly none of those guys has grabbed the spot. Belanco right now looks like a guy who, when he gets healthy, may be able to grab that spot. And as he gets more experience, I'm sorry, Mike.
Sure, and healthy as well. I mean, it's not 100%, I wouldn't imagine, but I think it's a good sign that he's already doing some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming back with, you don't know when a guy goes down like that.
And there may be a feeling that, you know, if they're all equal and they're all close, that Belanco's the young guy with more to develop. They've seen what Brewster has. They've seen what McClendon did.
They've had a few years to develop. Let's give this guy a chance if he's already
equal,
at that level, right?
So, and you know, I think Zane Beadles on the right side helps. He's a veteran guy. He's clearly helping Jokel. He can help a younger guy. They're going to lean on Zane in that situation a lot for experience and for leadership and for knowledge of what's going on.
Mike Dempsey, John Osher, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on this Thursday afternoon in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. John, Dakota Watson was signed, I think, with the idea this is going to be our starter at the newly created auto linebacker position. And you hear Gus talk about him. He has its elements, the speed element that he brings to the position. Leroy Reynolds has played pretty well, but I think they really want to see Dakota Watson do what they brought him here to do, which is seize that spot.
Well, it's interesting, and it's played out in a logical way. Cecil Shorts missed almost the entire offseason and almost the entire training camp. Well, it sounds like he's going to start tonight, and there's no real talk about anybody sort of pushing him. Well, they've got a year with Cecil Shorts. They know what he is. Dakota Watson also missed offseason, also missed training camp. Well, they signed Dakota Watson, but they've never really seen him in this role yet, so he's being brought along a little more slowly. It was interesting talking to Watson in the locker room yesterday. I said, how anxious are you about this opportunity? And he said, it's great, and he used the word bittersweet. He said, because he's back and he feels good, but he also knows he's not going to get a chance to really play 35 plays. He's still being watched a little bit in terms of not being able to turn it on full go for an entire half. And he said he's looking forward to the chance to getting out there and really being able to turn it on, you know, turn the dial to 11, if you will, to
all right, spinal
as a final test, you know, to really get out there and get going. But it is interesting. When he was signed, I think the assumption was that he would be the auto linebacker. Now Leroy Reynolds has played well enough that they can legitimately make Dakota Watson earn that spot.
All right, we'll talk coming up as well, other things you're looking for tomorrow night, and maybe some veterans right now who are, you know, at least have 1 foot on the roster bubble as we head into week three. Cut down to 75 players next Tuesday, so that's not the most drastic. You're going to have to cut down this roster, but you're going to wave goodbye to 15 players on the current Jacksonville Jaguar roster. You have not done the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, right? I'm not challenging
not
you.
No.
I challenged Tony, who completed his mission. And
I did.
I tried to post your video, maybe the computer. I'm having a tough time sharing it. I'll share that on the Jaguars Today Facebook page that you have on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
Frangie complied. It took him an extra day, but I give him credit. He did it. I haven't been able to see the video either, so I'm hoping the hair looked as disastrous as I intended it
when
I challenged
it. I'm sure it looked great. It's
Frank. Oh,
right?
Man. And, of course, O'Halloran. I've heard crickets from O'Halloran on this
Nothing
score.
From O'Halloran, and I'm just saying, Johnny O, I expect better out of you.
Yeah,
because I did lay down the challenge.
Oh, you did,
Ozier. Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
so you were one of the. Oh, so when you did yours, Ozier was one of the guys you challenged.
I did Martineau, Hicken, and Ozier.
Because of the road trip, I won't be able to comply with.
They
the
don't
24.
Water in Detroit, apparently.
But I'll get you know,
sewage water.
it'll get done. Put it that way.
All right, we need video evidence of that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Clearly need. Lauren's claiming she went to the beach and took a dip in the ocean, and that's something like that, and that counts for her aspect of the challenge. Nobody's buying that. So apparently she and Blaylock may redo.
Blaylock did it yesterday with Frangie.
I know she did, but did you hear her on the radio saying that she was going to do it again with you?
Yes, I did hear that.
Because you needed a makeup challenge or something like that.
I have the video to prove it. I don't understand why this mine is getting thrown out just because I was
amazing.
Because
no one's seen the video and you dumped warm ocean
some
water.
Some people have
yourself.
Seen the video. I just haven't posted it. That's all.
Well, that's part of the challenge. And Tony got a face full of flour.
Yeah, my friends, I shouldn't have trusted the people I trusted to do this.
Honestly thought it would have been funny in my video after my son dumped the water on me if my wife ran up and threw a handful of flour in my face, but she was filming the thing.
Oh, I got
having
more
her troubles filming it, by the way.
I got more than a handful.
Yeah,
buddy.
But you got it before the water. I would think the water would then wash off some of the flour.
It washed off some.
So look for that later today on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Back with more with the senior writer from Jaguars.com, John Ozier. I'm Mike Dempsey. Fat Tony here with you, Lauren Brooks. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Mike Dempsey, John Ozier, and Fat Tony here with you. Saw Le'Veon Bell and Garrett Blunt getting popped last night. A lot of jokes to be made in that situation.
Yes,
I mean,
that.
Just a wealth of jokes to be made in that situation. But I'm wondering if it's not more serious for Le'Veon Bell than it is for LeGarrette Blount. They found 20 grams of marijuana in the vehicle. Bell is also facing potential DUI charges. And I guess it's more serious because he was the driver. And they took him to an area hospital by the authorities to have his blood drawn. test for marijuana. Marijuana stays
bad
in your
day.
System. Yeah, it is a bad day. But marijuana, still, he could have smoked marijuana a week ago, and it would show up in his blood. I don't know what concentration the cutoff is for that. But
yes, you do.
Well, I don't know what the NFL. I know this. I know my blood is rich with protein.
That's
and nothing
right.
else, and white blood cells. But I do know that, I mean, the NFL's standard for Josh Gordon failing the drug test was 10 times more stringent than the current World Anti-Doping Association standard. So, either way, LeGarrette Blount and Le'Veon Bell, if you're drafting Le'Veon Bell, you probably get him a little bit better in your fantasy draft, a little better value coming up this weekend. Will they suspend? I mean, first-time offense, right? Isn't it typically, if you have a first-time offense of the substance abuse policy, you go into the program, and then you're at risk of up to 10 tests a month,
mm-hmm.
but you don't typically get suspended for the first offense, do you?
Not typically, but there are, of course, exceptions in terms of if it's off the charts.
Right.
But
if it's DUI, they could perhaps, you know, consider, you know, the fact that you have the marijuana, the fact that you got a DUI. I don't know what they
But usually when guys first go into the program, you usually don't hear about it unless it's an incident. Because it's not.
Correct.
Right.
Exactly.
So who knows if they've already been in or not.
This is true. Assuming he's not in the program already.
Then you would think it's not necessarily a suspension by the league, although could the team get involved? You never know.
The Steelers, a few years ago, I believe, suspended Santonio Holmes for a game on their own, which is, honestly, if you fought it, kind of a violation of the NFLPA's policies and the collective bargaining agreement. I suppose you could always just deactivate the guy, but then you'd still pay him.
Right.
But, you know, and then there's always that question, are you penalizing the team?
Right.
Because you're taking away this guy's talent who's going to help us win football games. Better to fine him, maybe a game check, and let him play.
Right, better to fine him, and that's why usually first offense. That's why usually, as you just said, Mike, usually the teams let the league handle it because it's in the CBA,
right.
And it takes them out of the equation and it doesn't damage relationship with the player if that's a possibility.
Now, that's Pittsburgh's issue to deal with right now. Let's deal with some Jaguar issues. Last week we all said, when asked, what do you want to see in the preseason game, that first team offense has to get some rhythm,
mm-hmm.
right? And they did.
And it did.
And that's, we got that answered in a positive fashion. So what's the first thing on your agenda? What are you looking for tomorrow night?
Well, everybody's going to say Blake Bortles, and I get that. But I want to see Chad Henne and the first team offense come out and at least do what they did last week. If they do what they did last week, then they have a chance to put some points on the board. They have a chance to stay in games early. They have a chance to let the defense keep them in games. They have a chance to be competitive. First week, you had a bad feeling about the first team offense because none of that happened. If they can get things like they were getting last week, where they get Mercedes involved, get some first downs, and allow the running game to maybe get up to speed a little bit, then I think people will feel better about the first team offense going into the season. So we're going to see Blake. We're going to get a chance to see that with the starters, and that's going to be the huge storyline. Can Chad Henne repeat what he did last week? Look at that kind of efficiency, because he's had a good week of practice. He's looked good.
Can you say that? Are you allowed to say that?
Well, it looked good to me. How about that? And
the non-team portion.
Right, the non-team portion.
The stretching was
good.
He
did great in an individual.
Stretching. And right. Based on what Gus Bradley told us after practice, it appeared to be good.
He is... He appears to be playing well, appears to be comfortable. I would be surprised if Chad Henne didn't play well on Friday.
I think that's important, though. Like you said, just Gus Bradley's not going to make his decisions based on the public sentiment.
Right.
But you don't need the it'd be nice if you kind of tempered the roar for another week. And if he does play well, my feeling is John.
Yeah, roar aside, Henny's going to start the over.
Obviously. Yeah, right. But it's why, if you don't have to have, if you can have more of a focus,
sure.
Like, okay, you know what? That's 2 weeks in a row that the first team offense looked pretty good. Like, maybe folks will feel that, hey, you know what? If this is what we're going to go with, maybe I wouldn't go this way. I'd put Blake Bortles in there at least. You know what? I feel like we have a chance to maybe do some things offensively.
I also think it'll be interesting to see. They looked a little better last week, or looked a lot better than they did in the opener. Now you put Cecil Shorts involved with that. And everybody's, you know, I get this feeling among fans, people who write into the Ozone, that everybody's, if they haven't forgotten about Cecil, they're just thinking about him as this guy who's been hurt a lot. You know, that's sort of become the storyline around Cecil. Fans, oh, can he stay healthy? Should you trade him? Because he's, you know, of all this. Again, I talked to Cecil yesterday after practice. He felt like that was his best practice of the week and his best practice in a long time. He feels great. If he's good, if he's healthy, if he's at 100% or at where he can be functional, all of a sudden this offense is a lot better when he's on the field. And he's a good player. So that's a key thing to get him back. And we've been talking so much about not being on the field, the hamstrings, whatever. Don't forget that he's very important to this offense when he's on the field. So it'll be interesting to see how it functions with him out there tomorrow.
Probably a couple series for Cecil.
About 15 plays.
Right.
Said yesterday, if it gets into an extended drive situation where they're on the field 12 plays, 80 yards, he probably won't be on the field for the entirety of a drive like that.
Right.
But over the course of the first quarter and a half,
mix him in.
Look for him to play about 15 plays. Same with Dakota Watson.
And I think, too, next week will be somewhat or maybe a lot dependent on what happens tomorrow. I think if Chad Henne comes out and plays well for a quarter and a half, that's it. I don't think we'll necessarily see Chad Henne in week four.
I think you'll see Cecil, though. I think
you may, because he's still working himself back up to full game rep.
If Cecil has his way, you'll see Cecil, because he still wants – he has said all along, if he can get two in, if he can get 15 reps tonight – or not tonight, but Friday night, and then – get that normal tune-up for the regular season, he feels like he can be ready. When he came back, Sunday was his first practice back, right? He said it's really the – if you're going to come back from an injury, right when he came back would be the perfect time to get ready. There's no reason he can't get ready as long as he has his normal tune-up now. It's not too late.
Perfect scenario, though, is Henne goes out and leads him to a couple of touchdown drives. It's not, you know, maybe not the first two drives, but 14 points on the board comes out. Blake plays great. Everyone's feeling good. Then Blake can go – play three quarters next week,
sure.
You know, because he's not going to have that volume once you hit the regular season.
Yeah, I think you'll see. It wouldn't surprise me if you saw Blake start next week. I don't think if he starts, you'd see him play three quarters.
Whatever,
but yeah,
whatever they determine they need to see out of
it him. Makes sense that
why wouldn't you play him?
Right, it would follow along with their theory of let's get these young guys in situations so that they'll be comfortable once they get into that situation during the regular season. It would make sense to get the backup quarterback ready, no matter who it is, to get a start, particularly if it's the rookie number three overall pick who you figure at some point this season might have a chance to play. It would make sense to get him a start to go through that where he's coming in when everybody else is coming in.
What else are we overlooking? I mean, we focus so much on center. I think we feel like Linder will be the right guard and he'll play well there. And I don't think it's written 100% in stone that he won't play any center, but I do think that that's the clear indication is that he'll be the right guard.
What's kind of overlooked here, too, I interrupted your question.
It's all right.
If they get – you're getting the idea talking to people that they feel good about Linder. They feel good about Pastor when he comes back, and they feel good about the left side. We spent so much time talking about center right guard that there's almost this perception like the whole offensive line is sort of out of whack. Well, right now they're really maybe in a situation where they're trying to find one position. If that's true and you've got Jokel in his second year, Beatles in his first year, you've got Linder as a rookie, and you've got Pastor, you know, set up, that's a better situation than this line was in a year ago on paper.
It is.
Now, it's got to get to a situation where that becomes some fluidity on the field, and center is key. But overall, they're closer than they were at this spot, and now they have to figure out this one spot.
And for right now, I mean, even though you're going to feel better about those spots, those guys haven't played football together.
Sure.
You know, not any meaningful football together.
I'm the first one to say, you're going to have continuity. I don't say concerns, but continuity will be an issue early because it just always is on the offensive line. So I'm not saying it's going to come out perfect. I'm saying when you look at how you're building the roster, if Linder is a keeper, which you're getting the idea that there's going to be hiccups for a rookie, but you're getting the idea that they like him long term, then they've all of a sudden got a lot. They didn't have a lot of guys in the offensive line this time last year that they liked long term. Now there's more of those, so now you can watch them develop. But the future is bright at that spot, it appears.
Where are you, other than the Dakota Watson, whether or not he's going to be ready to take that spot by the start of the season? I think, you know, if he shows enough in the next couple of weeks, I think that's likely. What else are you concerned about on that side of the football right now?
Well, concern, I don't know. I mean, you sort of want to see how Telvin Smith plays in these last two games. He's sort of flashed the first two games. Everybody's talking about him. And now you'd like to see if you – if you're starting to see things that make you think that in the long run this guy can be an every down player. Because he's got speed, he's got the playmaking ability. The question is, can he play all three downs? I don't think you're going to see him do that this season, but you would like to start seeing things that make you think that could happen in the long run, make you think it could happen if Geno Hayes would go out. You want to see the secondary play well, but I think overall you're going to see that area trend up. They're not overly concerned that the secondary is not going to continue to improve.
How do you think Geno Hayes has played? We kind of overlook him a little bit. He was, you know, on the day on, day off schedule there, and I think with, like you said, so much focus on Telvin Smith, and he's going to be the nickel weak side linebacker. I think he's been a guy who hasn't been talked much about this preseason.
Probably a situation where at that spot, if you're, you know, if you're not being talked about in the preseason, that's probably good. I look at it overall as the front seven. I don't see a whole lot of huge complaints anywhere on the front seven. Overall, as a group, they're playing pretty well as a unit. I don't know if you can really call out any of the linebackers as having been exceptional. They've all been solid, and I couldn't even really tell you if Geno had played above that or below that.
All right. We talked earlier this week, Tony and I did, about veterans on the spot. You know, maybe this is the game where you're playing for it. And Jeff Logman brought up Mike Brewster about 9-10 days ago on the show and said it could be a start or not make the team scenario for Mike Brewster. How do you feel about that? And just in addition to him, give me a veteran or two that was with this team last year that you think really needs to have an impressive performance tomorrow.
Well, I think Jeff's right on Brewster. The more you look at it, he's not playing guard, and that's what he played last year. You would think that if they were looking at him as a swing guy, he would be, you know, doing that. You know, both. I think that is a possibility. Mike Harris at the nickel, you've got Will Blackman, you've got Rashad Reynolds, who's played well, so you wonder if there's going to be a spot for him once it all shakes out. We all talk about Mike Brown. I think Mike Brown early, he's so reliable, especially with Ace Sanders not being active early. I think Mike Brown's on this team.
So Cecil, the 2 second rounders, Alan Hearns, Mike Brown, Tannen Doss.
Yeah.
That's
six. Tannen Doss has been overlooked. You started to see right before he got hurt with the ankle, you started to see sort of why they signed him. That not spectacular in practice because it was practice, but he was making plays and he looks the part, tough to cover, has got the physicality to make those plays out there. So if you couple that with the fact that he can return punts, he's been overlooked by a lot of people because he hasn't been out there, but I think they like him going forward.
Josh Evans and Chris Brzezinski, where are they?
Backups who are probably going to be decisions on that final weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down. I mean, both of those guys stays here in the balance, or is it an either-or scenario, or what?
I don't know if it's either-or. Brzezinski's a really good special teams player. He's hard to cut for that reason. Josh, a lot of people have him cut. I don't know if it's time to cut him yet. They liked him enough to start him early last year. He's decent depth, but when those final cuts come around that Saturday, those are two names I'll be looking for.
See what arrived in the room right here.
It's a little distracting.
It is a little distracting.
You're talking Josh Evans. Here. I'm thinking roast beef.
Tony, can you turn on Batman's microphone real quick? I got to congratulate him on the arrival of baby Batgirl coming to join the Thompson family. Let's say hello real quick. How are you, man? What's going on?
Man, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
What did you make us there?
Man, this is a 3-foot Cuban sub, man. And let me tell you what the cool thing about it is. Can you guess how much this thing weighs?
Oh, well, you told me. Ask Osier how much it weighs.
I can't tell you that. I can tell you how long it is. It's 3 feet.
3 feet long. How much does it weigh?
It's 92.5 ounces. It's cool, man. You know, it has a lot to do with y'all. You know, we're calling it the... It's not for
It's 92.5 ounces is what it is.
But it's the 1010 extra large sandwich. So it's the 1010 XL 3 foot.
You're gonna be able to. You're gonna be able to buy these.
No, not right now. It's we just
made for me.
It for y'all. Yeah.
Oh, you're just gonna be
y'all.
Able to bring them. He named it, and you can't even get this yet in your local convenience store. The rest of them are jealous. You can get the smaller version.
Oh, you can get the smaller version.
What's on there?
This right here's got turkey and like premium roast beef. It's got lettuce, tomatoes, some red onion pickles. I mean, the works, man. You got cheddar cheese. You got Swiss cheese. And it's that real cheddar, that good cheddar, that Wisconsin cheddar.
What are these guys supposed to eat?
Oh, these guys right here. I got some SpaghettiOs in the car.
Congrats on the baby girl, man.
Man, it's awesome. Batgirl is here. She's beautiful, and she is already spoiled rotten.
I love it, man. BCB_Batman Twitter. Give him a follow, and a member of the Dandy family and a member of the Bold City Brigade and the Jag family out there. Good to see you, brother. Thanks for lunch.
No problem, man.
Appreciate it. All right, though, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. This state in football history, the Honda Drive around the NFL and more with Johnny O, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. It is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM Heekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update brought to you by Osteen Volvo. The Jags travel to the Motor City today with kickoff against the Lions tomorrow night at 7:30. Here's head coach Gus Bradley on how much we'll get to see each quarterback.
You'd see somewhere like a quarter and a half with Chad and then a quarter with Blake, something like that. You know, I hate to say exact because it could be depending on reps like it was last week, but that's the idea.
For more from Coach Bradley, stay tuned as he'll join Jaguars Today at 11:35. For even more Gus, tune into the Gus Bradley Show tonight from 6 to 7, hosted by Jeff Logman, and then Jaguars Thursday, hosted by J.P. Shadrick from 7 to 8 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. If you'd like to meet some Jags players, come on out to Jackson Social Tuesday night at 7 o'clock as running backs Denard Robinson and Jordan Chodman will join me, Jessica, Donna, and Blythe for our first live Helmets and Heels show. Trinity Christian is ranked as the top team in the state in Class 3A, and another conqueror is set to play collegiate football as receiver Chris Farr from the class of 2015 verbally committed to Utah. And the Jacksonville Suns close out the homestand tonight with the Pensacola Blue Wahoos with first pitch at 7:05. I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM Heekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update brought to you by Osteen Volvo. We're Jaguars Today with Mike Dempsey, John Osher, and Fat Tonys coming up next.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, 1922, Curly Lambeau and the Green Bay Football Club were granted an NFL franchise. Happy birthday, Packers. In 1929, the Chicago Cardinals became the first pro football team to train out of town. And good for them. And also on this date, in 2009, the Dallas Cowboys played their first game at their new stadium in Arlington, and that was against the Titans. Who was the Titans kicker or punter at the time that hit the, it was the punter, right? Hit the scoreboard. And everyone thought, oh, this is going to happen all the time. I think it's the only time it's ever happened. Did he do that in the game or did he do that in warm-ups?
It was in the game.
It was in the game. But yeah. It's almost like, I think he said he was trying to hit it.
Yeah.
Right? Who was that? I can't remember.
I don't remember who the punter was.
You don't have a deep
it.
Knowledge of Tennessee Titan punter history, Tony?
Sorry, buddy.
It's unbelievable. All right, so those are some of the things that happened on this date in football history. Birthdays, happy birthday, Archie Griffin, born in 1954. Did he play it? What did he do in the NFL?
Played a couple of years. I want to say he was drafted by Cincinnati. But
yeah.
It was one of those where even when he was coming out, everybody knew he wasn't going to be a, you know.
Right.
He was an unbelievable college player.
Though. Only two-time Heisman winner.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, most people feel he'll be the only two-time Heisman winner because nowadays you get the Monet Davis treatment. They shove him down your throat.
Right.
Okay? Really? Oh, they're going to put the other team on the cover of Sports Illustrated now because they beat her around a little bit last night? Anyway. Off
see,
the
I think there'll box. Be another one.
You do think there'll be another one?
Yeah. I mean, like last year, Manziel could have won it if he had...
He could have, but there's just enough, there's so much publicity on these guys that the, you know, the level of expectation the next year is so much higher. I mean, forget Jameis Winston has no chance to win it, in my opinion. He may be a finalist.
No shot?
No.
Big
look,
words.
Look, he's got all the negativity, you know, all the continued little things going against him, the numbers he put up last year, anything short of that.
You think
if
they run the table?
They're going to have to run the table. He's going to have to improve on last year's numbers, and he's going to have to be a choir boy. I don't know about improve on last year's numbers. He loses Kelvin Benjamin and Kenny Shaw. That's a, I don't know. anyway, I don't think he'll win it. And a happy birthday, Jim McMahon, as well.
You know, I was thinking that even before
Dude,
you said
the Super Bowl
it.
Shuffle.
Were you? Roselle!
Driving in today, I was thinking, happy birthday, Jim McMahon.
Were you? Yeah. What would he get fined now? What did he get fined constantly for wearing those headbands?
He got fined. He got fined for the... I forget what it was, but yeah, he would get fined.
I mean, the NFL, you know, men in black would show up on his doorstep yes. today. You would not. I mean, that's a severe.
Chris Clemens got sent back in the locker room because his knee pads weren't on.
Right. Well, was it his knee pads weren't on? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know what? That's right. That's ticky tack, but it is a safety issue.
You're showing too much leg. Go back in the locker
room.
See,
that's what I thought it was at the time. I thought they said his pants were too high or something. But
yeah, they'll send you back in for anything
pad related.
Pad, no, or uniform.
They're going to send you back in if you wear the wrong color socks?
I'm going to send back in, but you're going
to
pay.
Oh, you'll pay, right. Yeah. But, I mean, they actually sent Chris Clemens back to the locker room to, I guess, put on the
Yeah, that happens back. More than you think.
This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Do your spouse and your family a favor. Do yourself a favor. Get the Stop Snoring Mouth Guard. Call 620-9225. Also, a certified Invisalign provider. Check out jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers' backfield is potentially in jeopardy, starting running back Le'Veon Bell and the man expected to be the primary backup to Bell and goal lineback LeGarrette Blount will both be charged with marijuana possession after being pulled over on their way to catch the flight for their game tonight against the Philadelphia Eagles. Bell had blood drawn and is expected to be charged with driving under the influence of marijuana. Bell, Blount, and the female passenger, again, are all expected to be charged with possession. Bell did not make the trip with the team to Philadelphia. Blount is reportedly with the team in Philly, but it is unclear whether he will play tonight. My guess is no.
He said Blount.
I did. The Cincinnati Bengals and one-time undrafted linebacker Vontaze Burfict have reportedly agreed to a 4-year, $20 million extension. Burfict led the league in tackles last season with 171 and will go from making $570,000 this season to $7.6 million.
He's a character risk, though.
That's right.
Don't draft that guy.
The Bengals
I wouldn't mind
had already
just going to what he was
Bell.
Making.
Yeah, I know. I know. 570 to 7.6 is pretty nice.
Put me on the practice squad.
Just get me to that first level.
That it?
That's it.
There you go. Your Honda Drive Around the NFL brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers. A.J. Trapazzo. That's what we got. Reserve punter for the Tennessee Titans, the crack research department at 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I was going to say that.
Lauren Brooks has indicated A.J. Trapazzo was the one who hit the screen.
And, I can Google like nobody's business.
You can Google like nobody's business, and I would think that's probably maybe like the first line on his wiki entry, if he has one. Right?
Yeah, well.
And maybe the only one, for that matter.
Well, Tony Baselli's Wikipedia entry has that he... runs triathlon, so we all know
it. Wikipedia.
It's up in the studio,
like
by the
say,
way.
The always accurate Wikipedia. I'm not happy, once again, that the words "do not erase" remain on the board, but the message they were intended to reference, Mike is King, got erased once again for the second consecutive week. I'd like to thank Don Murphy. You think that's irony? I think that's outright tyranny and treachery is what that is. All right, Johnny O, final few minutes here with you. And we've got Gus Bradley coming up, by the way, in less than 30 minutes here, our conversation with the head coach as he prepares to board the plane. What is the typical schedule here? You know, this is like a Saturday. You hop on the plane, you get up there. What are your assignments, if any, for Jaguars.com before tomorrow?
Find the remote and
watch television. Is that it? Is that what it boils down to?
Yeah, I mean, it's that's what today will be. And then tomorrow, team bus 4 hours before the game, or the staff bus 4 hours before the game. And you get there and start doing a little tweeting, find out the inactives during the regular season.
Tiger's not in town? I mean, you guys made the big Wrigley thing.
Went to Wrigley last
week.
I'm not usually a big event guy the night before the game. I mean,
Blue
is believe considering in getting out of the
cocoon. Some kind of establishment north of the border. He mentioned
Shocking.
To us yesterday. Yes. Apparently Ontario is known for some kind of establishment. Not sure what kind
of that
would be.
What are you talking about?
I'm guessing strip club, honestly. I really don't know. That's my guess. I have no idea.
What's a strip club?
That's where the women dance in very few clothes.
Huh.
So apparently that's big in Canada.
Tigers.
I don't know. Maybe he was talking
about
something else.
Well, if that's what Baloo's into.
We discussed this off the air. What establishment could Rick be talking about? And we thought that that was the one that was got the most votes.
I probably will stay close to the hotel.
Well, yeah, stay in the hotel with the remote. They got all that stuff on their...
Tigers on the road, by the way.
They are on the road. Yeah. That's a darn shame.
They're at Minnesota.
But we, on Jaguars.com tomorrow, we will, Brian Sexton and I, about 45 minutes before the game, we'll be on about 15 minutes, Jaguars.com live, in our pregame, talking about it. It's a neat thing we do, and it gives the fans a chance to sort of see the players warm up. It's sort of our pregame show on Jaguars.com live.
Yeah, and, get to see this team go up against... we expect to see Calvin Johnson make his preseason debut, Matt Stafford, Reggie Bush, Joyke Bell, Golden Tate, again. A bevy of different tight ends that they can throw at you. Last week was a pretty good test, I think, with some good offensive firepower. And at times, Jay Cutler, when he threw that touchdown, he seemed to have all day to throw. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, Chicago's first-team offense was able to muster 7 points on the Jags. So overall, pretty solid performance. Better test or equal test? How do you look at it this week?
I think it's pretty equal, maybe a little better. But again, Chicago had the one drive, and Cutler got a little bit of time. I think what folks need to remember is, in the NFL, that's going to happen. You're going to give up a touchdown drive every now and then.
They get paid, I hear.
Well, especially now with the with offense as good as they are and the rules slanted, this year defensively is going to be about trying to get teams off the field a few times. You're going to give up points this year. So your offense has to score with them. You've got to get some sacks. When you get to the quarterback, you've got to have sack fumbles. You got to make plays on defense. I wouldn't be too concerned if the Lions get a couple of drives. What you want to see, again, is you want to see the defense getting penetration. You want to see them stopping the run. You want to believe after they come out of this that they're going to be a defense that can get teams off the field more often than not. Don't worry if there's one drive. They're going to get one drive. That's usually going to happen. You want to see the same kind of thing you saw against Tampa, where teams are not able to run the ball consistently.
Other side of the coin, really good test potentially when you've got Ndamukong Suh, Ziggy Ansah, C.J. Mosley right now starting ahead of Nick Fairley in the middle of that defensive line, former Jaguar, and Jason Jones, pretty good front four, at least potentially a very good front four for the Detroit Lions testing this Jaguar offensive line.
Yeah, might get a chance. It's not a bad chance to see how those centers play, right?
There you go. I'm right. I think that's
if the centers play well, you won't come out of this going, eh.
Right, because you feel well. I mean, like we saw in the first one, you had Gerald McCoy was a pretty good test with Tampa, and Ndamukong Suh will probably be the same. Nick Fairley looking pretty portly right now. Wants that starting job back. Don't know if he's going to get it. All right, man. Hey, go get dressed. Do they let the senior writer go in shorts and t-shirt?
They don't let him roll
play.
Like this.
You're not rolling like that. All right, well, have a safe trip, and we'll look forward to all your coverage on Jaguars.com. We'll talk to you here next week.
Mike, thanks always. And thank you, too, Tony.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Just be glad Tony didn't hit you with a handful of flour in the face when you walked in the room.
Oh, man.
It's a new thing going around, I hear.
We want pictures of aviators from Detroit.
What's that? You want a new set of aviator, or you want
pictures? We want pictures. Yes.
Warren orders some sunglasses, please. Can you bring me home some sunglasses from Detroit?
Anything else you want, Lauren?
I'm good, thanks.
She just wants to know what you're watching on the in-room cable. That's all.
That, too.
The in-house cable.
Big Daddy.
There you go.
My left this morning.
There you go. Johnny O's playlist. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. We'll give away more tickets to go see the Axemen take on the Philadelphia Fight. That is coming up also. Gus Bradley just now minutes away from joining us, the head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll preview preseason game 3. We'll talk about training camp, where things stand, position battles, and the like. Yes, that includes the quarterback position. It's all coming up here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Motown Day. Jags getting on a plane and, they're getting on the bus in 40 minutes.
Yep.
Rolling out. If you want to give them an escort to the airport, that's up to you. And they'll hop on the charter, fly up to the Motor City, and take on the Detroit Lions week 3 of the preseason. Foundation Professionals of Florida giving you a chance to score tickets to the Jags' regular season home opener against the Indianapolis Colts. simply by entering any of our weekly photo contests. Go to facebook.com/Jaguars today. The latest one, we'll look for a picture of your vehicle decked out in a Jaguar motif. Best one or two will throw you into the drawing, and we will select a winner during week three of the season and hook you up with a pair of seats, nice seats, by the way, to go see the Jags and the Colts play. Foundation Professionals of Florida, taking care of the foundation of your home, just like you are the foundation of the organization, you, the fan base. Let Foundation Professionals give you the peace of mind that your home is safe. Call them at 287-2690 or visit foundationprosfl.com. Rugbyprosfl.com. Well, jacksax.com is where I would go. But we got Spinner Howland here with us. Back in the championship game with the Axemen, huh?
Yeah, mate, another one. Here we go.
Unbelievable.
But listen, before we get into that,
yeah.
I've got to credit you.
Do you?
Nice Beavis and Butthead little laugh there in the segment earlier. Are they going to change the name of that show to B&B?
I don't know. But there was a time in my life that, to me, that passed for high comedy. And I haven't seen it in a while. It probably still is, as far as I know. But
man, I saw your Facebook post yesterday about that. I'm like, what is going on? Because I've been so busy with this event. And I got on, I'm like, you're right, there are jokes coming with that.
Oh, with the bell and the blunt?
Yeah. Is that going to be the new Beavis and Butthead?
I don't know. I mean, just the fact that one of their names is Blunt is you know, enough right there to get you started. And, you know, in fantasy football, you always talk about the backup running back being the handcuff to the starter. So, you know, they had all these angles working for him yesterday
up in Pittsburgh. It couldn't get any better.
You know, and we're just excited to see the young quarterback play. We're just a wholesome little town of Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, that's right. And
waiting to see the quarterback play.
You know, the people here in Jacksonville, they never shed a tear when the Steelers have an issue.
No, they don't. And no one in Jacksonville, by the way, ever has smoked marijuana, which is nice. So there's that.
Yeah, that's...
Wait a minute.
Yeah, Most wholesome city in America.
Most wholesome city in all of America. Axemen, man, you guys, I finally got it. It's the Barbarians, Matt.
It is the Barbarians.
I like to call it the bloodbath, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Because, I mean, I think people like the visceral aspect of the rugby. And you've got a team from New Zealand that's coming in. First of all, the Axemen are playing the Philadelphia Fight. That's the main event. But you got a team from New Zealand coming in. How good is this team?
Mate, they're great. It's actually the New Zealand police team. They've been here three times before, or two times before. This is their third visit. All these guys have a history in playing our sport. And after technically after the top end of their career is done, they head into the police force. But they all have great rugby league backgrounds. They're obviously all in great shape, being active duty police officers. I know they got to hang out with...
Eat donuts in New Zealand? Or
right, they were out on ride-alongs last night with the JSO guys. They were there's some great pictures on Facebook, actually. But, mate, they are a great team. I mean, they played in DeLand this last weekend against the USA Pioneers, and it was honestly a pretty good beatdown.
It was a bit of a bloodbath.
62-6. Wow. They're a great team. So we're trying to level the playing field here.
All right.
And the Barbarians squad, the President's Barbarians, are chosen of all the import players from all the teams across our league. So we've got guys on a team from Australia, Fiji, Papua New Guinea, the United Kingdom, putting them all together in basically kind of an all-star team, I guess.
Okay.
But we're calling them Barbarians because they're not Americans. They're just a bunch of hoodlums we brought in to go out there and, listen, on behalf of the United States team you've played for this season, go out and do the job. Get into it.
A bunch of carpetbaggers coming in here.
Basically.
And taking over our league. And so you're gonna throw those guys, the mercenaries, Barbarians. That'll be a tune-up at 5 o'clock at Hodges Stadium.
5:30 kickoff.
5:30 kickoff, all right.
Let them get stuck in. Let them get the fans warmed up. So it'll be good stuff. And then obviously, look, 7 o'clock, it's for all the marbles, right? The Axemen Philadelphia Fight, a rematch from last year's national championship, completely reversed. We went to Philadelphia last year and got beat. They got to come down to Jacksonville this year, and we're expecting the same result back the round.
Right, opposite of last year.
You just got to make it even.
Or the same as last year. Visiting team takes it on the chin.
Takes a hiding.
Absolutely. Yes. Takes a hiding.
Yeah. they take it back to Philadelphia with them and enjoy it.
They're going to whip your hide. In all honesty, obviously, back-to-back years for both of these squads. Philadelphia's got to be the goods as well.
Oh, mate, they are. Undefeated as well. I mean, coming out of the Northern Conference with an undefeated season, just like the Axemen have had in the Southern Conference, you couldn't ask for a better matchup. Both teams, full complement of high-level import players. Like, you get three import players per team, and that's utilized to increase the standard not only for the players, but it makes the game more entertaining for the fan base. You're playing the game at an extremely high level here in the U.S. based on what the import players from Australia and the UK, et cetera, bring into your squad. Makes all the domestic guys have to lift their game for the entire season.
Very similar to what a lot of sports leagues do around the world. You're allowed X amount of American imports in basketball.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
A lot of leagues.
Same thing.
And yep. The like. So, you know, so it's not a complete ban of mercenaries, although it will be at 5:30.
No, yeah, it will be. It absolutely will be.
That'll be great. Tickets we've been giving away all week. And in fact, right now I got another pair for you at 641-1010. Call Lauren, third caller. We'll put you on the waiting list and folks can pick those up at will call and just sail right in. We'll give away a couple more pair tomorrow. For folks who don't win tickets, obviously you want a big turnout to rally the Axemen to victory.
Mate,
where can they get tickets?
Mate, I took the online tickets off this morning, and only for the fact that it's so tough. Everything we've got going on right now, we've got a million things happening, setting up a venue, the bleachers. The game's going to be televised live in Jacksonville. I'll get to that in a minute. But show up at the gate. It's $12 to get in. Kids 15 and under, free for the national championship. I've got to credit Republic Services for that. They said, look, we did it all season for the Axemen. Why not? So a kid goes to all the Axemen games, gets the experience of seeing his team win the Southern Championship in the conference. Why would you stop a family from going then to watch them in a national championship? And they said, yeah, we're in for that. Too easy. So a big shout out to them and thank you. Those that can't get to the game, if you've got to be stuck on your couch or stuck at work, or as one of our guys that are in the fire department is always stuck at the station, it will be aired live on CW17. It'll start at 7 o'clock, so
nice.
Everyone can watch rugby league. If it's your first time watching it, I think a lot of people then understand that this game, this code of rugby, is so similar to American football in its structure that it'll be very easy for them to understand it. And we are bringing in a special guest commentator for the commentary.
And that is?
One and only Mr. Arlie Johnson.
Arlie's coming out! How about Arlie Johnson?
Arlie had a great, great couple of seasons with us doing our live stream. He understands the game.
10XL alum,
yeah,
for folks who don't remember him.
Yeah.
Has enough experience to understand the game, but can Americanize the sport for the American viewers in Jacksonville. Mate, if you want to call it a set of six tackles or a set of six downs, we don't care. Call it a knock-on, a forward fumble. Whatever it takes for the Americans to embrace our game, and Arlie is great at that. So we'll have him.
Look forward to it, man. And, you know, hopefully for some people who don't make it out, who've never been to a game, they'll see the championship game. Hopefully the Axemen prevail. But regardless, they'll see a competitive sport that they'll look into checking out next year.
Yeah, look, mate, come and see the game. The new venue we've got at UNF with the new bleachers that are going in. It's the practice soccer field, which is adjacent to Hodges Stadium. UNF has put in permanent goalpost inserts for us. We've got bleachers. We've got a television platform being built. We've got a brand new scoreboard that they've just erected and tested.
Is it 300 and something feet?
It's
long?
Almost that.
We got two of those.
It is some feet long, yes.
It's somewhere south of 300 feet long. It's
a lot of meters. We'll confuse people with the metric system.
Several meters long. Love it, man. Look, Spinner, every time I see you, I'm amazed at how you've taken that germ of an idea and blown it up the way you have and created this all across, you know, rugby league, helping to institutionalize it in the United States of America. Let's bring the title home to Jacksonville this weekend.
Mate, yeah, in front of a home crowd, hopefully a massive home crowd. People, you'll literally be sitting 20 feet from the sidelines.
Awesome.
I mean, we've done it. We want people to hear the impact. When the player gets his nose busted and it's dripping claret, we want the fans to be able to see it getting patched up on the sideline.
Dripping claret.
That's right, baby.
After the hiding that's coming.
Yeah, look.
This weekend.
Tony being the voice of the Axemen, I sent Bob Knoffel the team list last night on email. Hey, here's a tune team list. Print them out. Make sure you bring them. He said, I have the Axemen team list. I've appropriately forwarded the Philadelphia Fight team list to St. Vincent, so they're ready.
Nice. Nice. Lifelight is available if necessary. We hope it's not. Hopefully an ambulance will suffice. All right. Best of luck to you, man. And,
thanks, mate.
Keep all the Axemen in the best shape you can coming out of that thing. I know that's a tough sport, but look forward to you hoisting the championship trophy. Spinner Howland with the Jacksonville Axemen. Show up Hodges Stadium. $12 for adults, kids 15 under, absolutely free. Yes, they've got great deals on frosty beverages as well,
yes,
as they always
do.
Yes, they do. Get there early and watch the Barbarians storm the gates against New Zealand as well. Spinner, good to see you, buddy.
You too, fellas. Thanks,
all right,
mate.
Tony, let's take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today. Asking fans, share with us an experience or two of your favorite favorite road trip you've ever taken with the Jags? What did we get?
From Mike, we got, I was at the Pittsburgh-Jacksonville 2007 wildcard game. We exploded for David Garrard's run on 4th-and-2. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Paul, the Hail Mary, I was the only one around me to see what happened. I was jumping and screaming and nobody knew why. Hashtag Jaguars today. I thought that was here at home. Maybe the halftime Hail Mary at Carolina? I'm not sure exactly where that play happened, but I know the Mike Thomas Hail Mary was here in Jacksonville. From Josh, we got Jags at Titans, was stationed an hour away, worked his yellow coat on the field. We won. That is all. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag behind enemy lines. From Bortle Boards, we got finding 75 BC beers in Seattle in 2013 and taking over Pyramid L House from Hawks fans. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag crown was good. And from Brandon, we got November of 2008, the Lions at Ford Field. Mojo had 3 touchdowns. The real highlights were Jerry Porter and Troy Williamson had touchdown catches.
That happened. That
Jaguars
actually happened.
Today.
All right, I just want to read this one from Michael Wren on the Facebook page. Went to Chicago back in 97-98, sometime in that time frame. Rented a white town car, had our Jag magnets and flags flying as we drove around Soldier Field trying to find a place to park and tailgate, getting cussed out and turned away from every lot, even had 7-year-olds flipping us off. We finally found a little lot downtown between 2 large buildings. Come to find out after the game that all the buildings downtown are large and couldn't find the rental car for 3 hours. Hashtag, here we go, Jaguars today. Hashtag, shut up, Randy. Hashtag, hash brown selfie. Hashtag, let me in a listener league. But then he blew it with hashtag, let's go O's. See, you're so strong to the end there, Michael. All right, we'll give somebody a T-shirt a little bit later on for that. But enough of the preamble. The main event coming up next. Head coach Gus Bradley of your Jacksonville Jaguars coming up on the other side. Don't forget, by the way, the Tom Bush Mini pre-owned pets adoption event is this Sunday, August 24th. If you're an animal lover, if you have room in your home and your heart for another pet, Tom Bush Mini is going to open on Sunday for a pre-owned pet adoption event with the Jacksonville Humane Society from 11 until 3 at the dealership, which is at 9881 Atlantic Boulevard. They will pay. Tom Bush Mini will pay for the adoption fees. It's an indoor event, so no matter what the weather, rain or shine, it's going on. So the pre-owned pet adoption event coming up this Sunday, August 24th at Tom Bush Mini on Atlantic Boulevard. Gus Bradley next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today. We know you don't want any more of us talking, except if it's to the coach. So let's get to it. Sitting down with Gus Bradley here. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Huh? I see Big Joe's in here. I just saw him last night. He's fired up, ready to go. You guys are fired up. It's a great morning.
Well, you walk in, and immediately the mood in the room elevates. But in all seriousness, just overview, training camp, year 2 for you. How are things going?
It's going really well. You know, we're trying to figure out just where our strengths and weaknesses are. But, you know, we're really trying to get our coaches, we've got to develop guys. You know, it's a word or a phrase that we use, this race to maturity. And we're trying to get these young guys to develop and get experience as fast as possible. And you're seeing it happen. You know, guys like Alan Hearns and Marquise and, you know, on the defensive side, you're seeing Telvin Smith. And you're starting to feel them get better. And the coaches are sensing it and our scouts are seeing it. And, you know, I'm really excited about how we're developing these guys. Now, how will they do? That's yet to be seen, but we're seeing us, you know, some really good progress is being made really across the board.
How big is this third preseason game in that evaluation process? People call it the dress rehearsal. How important is it?
Well, it's very important to us. I mean, there's so many things that we need to get accomplished. One, just, you know, our rotations in the game, how we're going to set them up for a game with our defensive line, figure out the offensive line. On top of it, it's really been a challenge for us, or, you know, a great opportunity for us to put our players through what is a regular season schedule like. You know, okay, now we have this meeting. It's a little bit changed now. Now we practice in the afternoon instead of the mornings. And, you know, we're going through that whole routine. Today is flowing and going, and what does that mean? And, you know, we go through all these different things, so our players are starting to understand what a regular season week is like. And we don't want to miss that. You know, we still have the third game, and we're going into, and it's a great evaluation tool. But all the other things that go into a regular season week is what we're trying to get done this week.
Coach, you mentioned trying to figure out the strengths and weaknesses on this team. I think a lot of people thought coming into the season that the defensive line was going to be a strength. Have you seen what you wanted to see to this point from that reworked defensive line?
Well, you know, you really want to create depth. And, you know, our hopes was that Ziggy would be the guy we hoped he'd be, a guy that could spell and play at a high level for Sendarik. And now this last game, he's doing that. I think he's really getting a comfort level there. You know, guys like Tyson, we got Red. We know what he can do. He's down in weight. He's playing pretty good. And we need Tyson, too, to come in and play at his highest level. And we're seeing him play at a really high level. So I think the pieces are coming together for the defensive line. And then this rush group, you know, how are we going to utilize the rush group and putting them in with Brancher and Clem on the field at the same time and a Ryan Davis or a Chris Smith? That's coming together. So, you know, it's going to be hard, you know, this cut down, you know, when we got to make some cuts or who's going to be active on game day. It's making a real difficult decision on the defense line. That's a good place to be.
You singled out Andre Branch several times during the offseason for his work in OTAs and minicamp. Has that offseason work translated to what you've seen on the field during training camp in the preseason?
It has. You know, we really challenged Brancher last year. Okay, first of all, let's take care of the effort. Let's really make sure that your effort stands out. And we felt like last year he showed that. Okay, now what about this year? What are we going to attack? And we really worked on his rush, you know, the ability to bend. And, you know, when you get to that set point to bend and lean and to get pressure in the quarterback and go from speed to power and those things now we're concentrating on. He didn't get many reps the Tampa Bay game, but we did see it in the Chicago game. You know, we'll add more pressures and things like that, but that area of improvement we need to see in Brancher, we're starting to see.
Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with the coach, Gus Bradley. Can you believe we talked for 3 minutes? We haven't said the word quarterback yet.
You got to be shocked, right?
I don't know if you guys had a chance to talk in 3 minutes.
That's the way we like it. Hey, when you're getting these guys ready, we know Blake's going to play a quarter. Chad's going to go about a quarter and a half in this game. Where's the challenge start to come in for you as you approach the regular season? You want to get Chad ready. I know you've got a program in mind to continue to develop Blake. Is that balance going to be able to be there for
you? It's tough now because one thing what we're seeing with Chad is he's making really quick decisions. He's getting the ball out, getting it out of his hands. And to me, that shows that he's playing fast. And that's really good. That's a really good sign. I'm not sure we saw that consistently last year. So he's in really a good place. Now we go into this week, we're going to get Blake some reps with the ones. And, you know, we got 7 reps here, 8 reps here. It wasn't maybe like the public would have thought. Hey, we think, oh, he's going to get 25 reps with the ones and we're going to do this. But we've got to, you know, Chad's in such a good place that we've got to keep that mentality that where he's playing really fast. Now, on top of it, let's not miss this opportunity for Blake. Let's get him some reps worth of ones. We saw it in practice where he even said, oh, the speed is a little bit faster when you're going against the ones. And we feel like at this point in time, he's ready to see that speed, to go against that speed. And let's speed up his process. And, you know, so this is a great opportunity for him. We feel like he can get that in a quarter. He can get a feel for that. Yet we're keeping Chad strong and at his place as well.
Talk about Cecil Shorts coming back now, finally healthy. Do you have to be a little tentative with him, not push him too hard, too fast?
Well, we never say the word tentative to him, but we say...
Get that out of my vocabulary.
But you're right. You're right. You're right in thinking that way, in that we just got to bring him along. Everybody, we'd like to get him to, you know, 3 quarters and get him up to speed, but we have to be real careful and make sure that we know he just came off an injury. We know we have a progression in order this return to play, this whole process to get him at full strength game one. So you'll see him about 15 plays. Hopefully next week, if everything goes good, you might see him in 2 quarters really building up to that first game.
And will you play, I mean, with a guy like Chad Henne, will you plan on playing him in preseason game four, some of these other starters? Because some coaches like to shut down a lot of the front line guys for that final game completely.
Well, we'll have to evaluate after how this goes and just see. You're very protective. You know, I think last year they might have played a series or two just so they come out. And, you know, to really be able to see that game speed one more time. If you don't play, now you got, what, 10 days or whatever the amount of days it is before that first game. So we'll weigh that out after we watch this game.
What about the center battle? Where do things stand right now?
Well, I think the perception is that none of them are playing very well, and we're trying to find out who's going to step to the top. And it's really not the case. Each one of them has their strengths. Each one of them is doing well at certain things. And I think we're trying to find out who does more of the things we're asking for consistently. We're seeing, you know, Mike Brewster's doing a really nice job last week. He had a couple things, but 26 plays out of 30, I mean, he was on, did a really nice job. So he has some strength. Jock, Bowinkle, you know, those guys, I think we're kind of understanding that Linder's pretty good, and he's been playing pretty consistent. So he'll find, we'll find a place for him. Now it's the other three, you know, who's going to be that center spot?
Is it most likely for Linder in your mind, the right guard position, or are you still open to maybe looking at him at center?
I think we're open. He's just, you know, maybe a little bit ahead of everybody else. And then when you have a young guy, you know he's might make some mistakes, but they're going to be aggressive mistakes. And really with our offensive line, we're building a mentality of relentless play. You know, guys that have that mentality. So, you know, we feel like Linder has that mentality. Now at the center spot, who's going to capture this chance against Detroit, and who's going to show that relentless play, play after play? Because that's really how we want to build this offensive line.
Coach, your first chance to see Blake Bortles with the ones, even if it was just in practice. The real test obviously coming for him tomorrow night in Detroit, but how would you evaluate what you saw from him in practice, and how are his teammates reacting to him being in there with the ones?
Well, I think they reacted really well. There's no doubt that the team gravitates to Chad. They're feeling him where he's at right now. But they're also intrigued by Blake. They're saying, hey, you know, he's really made a lot of progress since OTAs. And they're saying, you know, this is we're in a good situation right now to have two quarterbacks like this. So, I and he does a great job. He's really handling the team well. They gravitate towards him too. They're figuring him out, what his strengths are, and how he, you know, calls the plays and how he handles adversity. And boy, he's really done a nice job. Really a nice job.
Let's talk about a little bit on the defense. Dakota Watson finally getting back. I'm sure you were happy to see him out there. What does that look like right now at the auto position? Is that his spot to take from Leroy Reynolds, who's, I think, played pretty well?
Well, Leroy has played well. Dakota has that speed. I know the reps that he got today or, you know, this past week in practice, you saw his burst. And ideally, that's what we want on defense. We want a lot of speed on the field. And that's when we're going to play best. Now, Leroy's, you know, pretty fast, too. We got faster with Leroy being on the field. So that's going to be a battle. That's going to be a battle right there. Obviously, Dakota needs to catch up because he's had some injury. Leroy's done a nice job in there performing. So we'll see how it advances here with Dakota. He won't get a lot of reps. He'll be like Cecil, you know, 12, 15 reps. Get him a feel for it. And then we'll just keep progressing him and see where it takes us.
I know watching from a fan perspective, you know, we watch the game differently than you guys do, obviously. But through 2 weeks, Telvin Smith, I mean, he's all over the place. He's making plays for you guys on defense. How impressed have you been with him to this point?
Well, we always knew the skill set that we were getting with Telvin is his speed. You know, he's got really good speed, and we're faster when he's on the field. Now, I think what's intriguing to us is his length. You know, his size and his length, and just like the tip ball where Josh Evans got the interception. You know, those type things. He's in his drop, but it's a high throw, and he just barely got a hand on it, and it allowed us to get a big play. I think he's fitting the run pretty well. Some of the things that you're a little bit nervous about with Telvin are his size. Can he play down after down? And, you know, when he came in, what was he, like 205, something like that? We had, you know, Jonathan Cyprian and Winston Guy are bigger than him. But now he's up to about 221, that weight's coming on, and you know, I think that's what probably teams kind of stayed away from in the draft, because they said, wow, he's not very big, and where we said, we can get a really good skill set, and if we can get him up there in weight, what a great get at the spot that we took him.
Yeah, it's funny, we were talking about the draft class yesterday, really the first two for Dave Caldwell, and they're not any really obvious whiffs in there. And that's not always the case in the National Football League. I'm sure you've been with teams in Seattle. You draft a guy and you're like, wow, this is not what we expected when watching him on film. You have to be pretty pleased that you're getting what you thought you were getting, I think, with most of these guys.
Yeah, I do. You know, you look throughout the draft, even, you know, go to the seventh round. And you're saying Storm, you know, he's doing a pretty good job as a running back. Kickoff returns, shows some flashes there. Luke Bowinkle in the sixth round, and he's battling to have a chance to maybe be a center. And, you know, you just go right down the list. So, you know, these younger guys are coming in, and they're competing at a high level, you know, right from the start, where a lot of times there's a big learning curve for these guys. And you say, well, maybe in 2-3 years, though. But that race to maturity, we're seeing it happen right in front of our eyes. These guys are, you know, they're going in with a clear mind. They're focusing on getting better, and we're seeing it.
Coach, you mentioned Storm Johnson in the running back position. Denard Robinson looked good in the offseason, looked like he had really grown into the offense. How bad was that hand last year? Just nobody knew about it.
Well, you know what? A credit to him. I mean, really, a guy like Denard, he could have used it as an excuse. You know, hey, you fumbled, you dropped some balls, what's going on? But not once did you hear it. He never made mention of it. And it just talks about his character and what he's all about. Extremely, extremely competitive individual. To come back from that and then see him gain confidence. I mean, went all through OTAs. I think at the very end of minicamp, he dropped a ball. Other than that, he didn't drop a ball. And his confidence is really gaining. And I think you're seeing that preseason. With every carry he gets, the confidence is there. He's not where we need him to be, but he's better than where he was.
Gus Bradley here with us. We'll wrap it up because we could keep you all day. We know you got to get on a plane today. However, for the preseason game number 3, how are you going to judge success? I know you're more process-oriented than strictly results-oriented, but what will you be looking for on Friday?
Well, I think, you know, to continue on the offensive side, we're just strongly believe in a run game, and we're making progress there. You know, to come out, and we understand it takes some time with those guys, but just, you know, some of our double teams, we hang on to them a little bit longer. You know, the zone schemes, we step a little bit wider. You know, just some subtle things that we know that are eventually going to lead to even more success for us up front. You know, the defensive line, you know, we again, convicted on getting four-man rush. We've got to, you know, continue to do that, and we're going to have a chance to do that with Stafford. So, you know, those things, our play at our linebacker spot. I believe looking at, you know, in the preseason, you see generally a lot of missed tackles, and we've been pretty good. You know, I'm really excited about the progress we made there. So continue to tackle well. And, you know, all these little pieces that we know are so important to put the big puzzle together.
Hope it all goes well for you, obviously, this week, and avoid any more key injuries and get these other guys that are nicked up back as quick as you can. Gus, we appreciate you stopping by.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
It is always a pleasure to see Gus Bradley, the head coach. Man, he does elevate the mood in the room and the building.
You ain't kidding.
Just when he's walking through, you know. And so there he goes, Gus Bradley. Hope you enjoyed that. You can't get enough Gus, right? How about the Gus Bradley Show coming up at 6 o'clock today, followed by Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick will have Tony Baselli and Jeff Wagaman joining him live from Detroit. Coming up this afternoon, we got XL Primetime. Those boys will take you up until 2 o'clock, web.com fantasy forecast with myself and Josh Carney. Tony has been eating some Dandy Sandwich, and I think he just got the hiccups.
I do have the hiccups. I don't know where they came from.
And then, of course, I believe Jessica Blaylock, Brent Martin will be holding down the fort for the Frangie Show, and I would imagine if they land at whatever time they land, they'll be checking in this afternoon as well, the voice and sideline reporter for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, all leading up to game broadcast tomorrow right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. For Fat Tony, for John Osier, for Spinner Howland, for Lauren Brooks, for Joe Fortunato, and for the head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Gus Bradley, I'm Mike Dempsey. That's Jaguars Today. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.